Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
You are listening to Pastor Elvis Ajiman. Pastor Elvis Ajiman is the founder of Grace Mountain Ministry and the convener of Alpha R. Follow Pastor Elvis on podcast. Podcast added for Android users is Pastor Ajiman Elvis, and podcast for Apple users is Pastor Ajiman Elvis. And now today's message. Stay blessed.
Our rebirth experience, the indwelling. Acts chapter 17, verse number 23. The reason why God introduced the rebirth experience was that there was a problem on earth. And that problem is that people know that there is a God somewhere, but the reality is that they don't know Him by experience, and they don't know Him by revelation. So the Bible says, for as I pass by, that is Apostle Paul in Athens, and he's trying to engage the people there, the idol worshippers there. And then he said, for as I pass by and beheld your devotions, these were men who were devoted to worship, but they were worshipping several idols and other gods. And then Apostle Paul was walking about their temples and seeing a particular thing around them, that all the temples that are worshipping idols, there was a particular god that they didn't have a name for. So they were all identifying that god as the unknown god. He said, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown god, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. So you know that there is a superior God. You know that beyond the God of the sun and the God of the moon, there is a God of gods. There is a Lord of lords. There is a King of kings. They know, but they don't know Him by experience, and they don't know Him by revelation. But the people were so loyal and faithful that so far as they know that there is a higher God somewhere, then we must create an altar for Him. We have never heard His voice. We have never seen Him in a vision. We don't have any priest that represents Him around us. We don't have anything like that. But we still know that there is a God somewhere. We still know that Jupiter didn't create himself. There is a God that created. We still know that the God that we serve, there is a higher God that made them. So we create an altar for them. And then this God, who is ageless and ancient, is seated in the heavenly realm. And he said, these people are having a seed of my knowledge in them. That is why the covenant we have now, he said that both great and small, no one will be taught. Everyone will know me. Anyone that is born, know that there is an unknown God somewhere. But with time, then you find somebody to open him up to you. That's what happens. And then God's agenda is that I place this seed in them, that there is one that made them. He's beyond the water gods. He's beyond the mountain gods. He's beyond the sun god. He said that, then I must find a way to now begin to reveal myself to these people. And what was God going to do? As at when Apostle Paul was saying this, God has been dealing with Israel for a long time, for more than 1,000 years or 2,000 years. God has been dealing with Israel. Yet the world doesn't know. So God has to introduce something that is deep. So Apostle Paul begins to tell them that there's a God that created the heavens and the earth. And he said he does not dwell in temples that are built with hands. Why? Because this God has come on earth. Do you know why they killed Jesus? They killed Jesus because he said that I'll break down this temple and rebuild it in the third day. So actually, there was a whole divine council to be established. That if I continue dwelling in buildings, there are many people who will never find me. So this is what we have to do. We have to destroy physical buildings and create another. So that I can dwell in those ones. And those ones must be mobile enough to go everywhere. Somebody's about to catch it now. Those ones will be mobile enough to go everywhere and to represent me everywhere. That was when Jesus came in and said, I will break down this physical temple and then I will rebuild anew. And then after he resurrected, the Bible said, those that believed in him, ye became the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is where the whole thing begins. So the indwelling experience was actually God trying to solve a problem of a people that have a knowledge that there is an unknown God, but have never experienced it. So God had to create a system where he will be everywhere with people who don't know him. And how was that going to be happening? Then let me remove myself from physical buildings and then enter into human temples. So that wherever human beings go, I go. Listen, God didn't come here because of this building. He came here because we are here. In fact, he didn't come before us. He came with us. Am I talking to a church here at all? And can I go a little deeper? We brought him. Listen, it is time that you throw away certain cliches and receive. Somebody shout, I'm the temple of God. I have him. He dwells in me. I walk with him. I move with him. I live with him. In the name of Jesus. This is our first experience. That is why 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's read it quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 16. You see, this acknowledgement of knowing that you are the temple of God begins a whole life experience. Any believer that does not fully accept this will fail in your walk with God. You will not even get it from the beginning. If you are not conscious, if you have not accepted this truth that as I'm walking about, I am the temple. I am the temple. I'm going to show you what it means. That's why the Bible calls us the vessels of mercy. The Bible calls us temples. We are like containers walking about. The real us is not about what we see physically. The real us is what is inside of us. That is why your greatest treasure is not anything outside of you. The greatest treasure is the God content inside of you. I don't know how I will explain this for a believer to catch up with this. That we are more than the car we drive. We are equal to the measure of the content of God that is in us. That's who we are. So Apostle Paul is teaching the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church has been infiltrated with idol worshippers. So there were all kinds of doctrines in the church. Why? Because they've allowed Judaism into the church. They've allowed idol worshippers into the church. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans was already playing around the church. So one church, you come and you realize that some are practicing something else. Another believe in only Jesus. Another believe that you have to combine Christianity and Judaism. So the whole church was not unified in faith. That is why Apostle Paul gave the greatest revelation about the church in Ephesians chapter 4. Why God gave pastors. He said that we all come to the unity of the faith. That's why he gave. So the whole church was divided in faith. And they were saying, I'm for Apollos, I'm for Paul, I'm for that. That's the Corinthian church for you. And then Apostle Paul now goes back to where the whole agenda begins. Then he begins to correct them. That they are the temple of the living God. And then it's coming to show us who a temple of the living God must be. Must be. Can we all read it? One to go. Agreement has the temple of God with idols. For ye are the temple of the living God. Say, I am the temple of the living God. Do you believe that? Say, I am the temple of the living God. Say it loud again. Say, I am the temple of the living God. Say, I'm pregnant with God. He said, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, can you not declare what God has said? Can God have said, want to go, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. That, can you? Can, it's Jesus. You see? Don't be too excited. Don't try to get a certain rhythm before you feel. No, no. Church, dancing in church without truth, it's a waste of time. He said, this is what God himself said. He said, on that day, I will dwell in them. Do you know what dwell is? Dwell means permanent abode. I'm not moving anywhere. I will dwell in them. That's the word. Dwell means to dwell in this building means that you are not stepping outside. He said, my conference is inside. I will dwell in them. And then if I have any working to do, I'm not walking outside them. I'll walk inside them. So wherever I want to go, outside their current premises, I walk in them. They walk there. Are you getting a picture? So you are in Sotium. God wants to go to Accra to perform something. He won't step out of you to go. He begins to move through your legs and your legs begin to go. That is the confidence we have that we don't lose him. I will dwell in them and then I will walk in them. And he said, this will be their confidence. I will be their God and they shall be my people, God. You know this. You have read this. It has been preached to you and you still fear a witch. You still fear somebody came to put a calabash in front of your building. You still fear. Calabash outside, God inside. Jesus. Listen, the hour has come. The hour has come. Don't make a mistake to enter 2022 with this same mentality of yours. It doesn't work. Somebody shout, I have a God. And God has me. Jesus, shout it loud and say, I have a God. And God has. You talk with confidence. I know who I am. I have a God. And continue. Listen to that. Continue. Please, 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 please. Read it like it's your own. Now say, God is in me. I have God. He has me. So now there's a condition. Now you believe that you are a vessel of God. You are a container of God. So not only pastors carry God, everybody. Every believer carries God. So you must understand certain protocols about what containers are about. Look at it. He said, every container attracts the interest of people, but content keeps them interested. Every container attracts the interest of people, but content keeps them interested. You see, God wants people to know him by experience and by revelation, but they cannot. So he has collected content for himself and he has poured himself into the content to make sure that anytime somebody sees you, they can be attracted to God through you. That's who you are. So Apostle Paul is saying that, come on, God is in you. You are the temple of God. You are for God. God is for you. Now let me show you how you live your life. If you know that God is inside of you. He said, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Are you hearing that? Verse 18, quickly. Be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Chapter 7, verse 1. Now shout this loud and clear. Want to go? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear. Having these promises. What is this promise? That you are my temple. I will live in you. I will walk in you. He said, having this promise that God will be my father and I'll be a son and a daughter. He said, having this promise, be separate from among them. And he said, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Then you perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. This is who the container is. Having a revelation about who you are. That you see what? You cannot disgrace your content. You are a container to attract somebody, not to you as a brand, but to the content inside. You see what? The moment you remove Coca-Cola brand from its bottle, nobody might drink what is inside. But the moment you put the brand there, everybody begins to imagine in their minds that this thing inside tastes like this. So I'll go and buy it. You are a special container of God, branded to give God to people everywhere. Somebody said, I'm a special container. I am branded to showcase God. No wonder the Bible says that you are the light of this world and you are the salt of this world. Actually, you are representing who God is. That is why a believer cannot live anyhow, because of your content, because of what is inside of you. Have you ever seen the orientation of a president before? Do you know what they go through before they are being ordained or publicly as a president? Why? Because they are coming to represent something that is so heavy. They are coming to represent a whole nation. A whole nation will be inside of them. When they speak, it's a nation speaking. Whatever happens to them has happened to the nation. So they were trained to carry themselves in a certain way, so that they can fully represent what is inside of them. I pray for you, O Son, today. May you fully represent Jesus as you should, in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody say that I am a brand of God to attract people to Him. You see, that is why sometimes God can give you a special talent. It's not about you. It's to attract people to the God content inside of you. Whatever you can do, whatever you have, is part of the branding of your vessel to attract people. But what is inside of you is what will keep them. So never build your trust and your faith about who you are, your personality, your identity, your status, your that. No. Those are branding of the vessels to then draw people unto God. So your attention is to know that you have been employed to a high status institution, not for what to eat. No, it's to draw people in that realm to the God content inside of you. But believers don't understand. There are people here who still feel that you are called for you. No, you are not called for you. If it has to take you 15 years, God will let you go through this lesson I'm teaching you simple like this for 15 years before you start seeing the true glory of His presence inside of you. And if you catch it quick, His glory will begin to shine forth. Somebody said, I'm a vessel. I attract people to God. This is who you are. A vessel that must be attractive. A vessel. So you'll carry yourself about with such pure conscience that I know every step of mine. I know my assignment. Listen to me, people of God. I know my assignment on earth. I'm conscious. I know. I don't carry myself about anyhow. I know how I talk to people. I know how I behave. And I'm dealing with people, I know how to deal with people. Because I'm conscious of the fact that I'm a container ready to dispense a God inside. I know it. My understanding into this, there are many people who have understood sonship in this manner. I carry God so I can walk on water. I carry God so I can do this. No. That is not my understanding. That is a shallow understanding. If you think that your God content, all it does is for wonders, miracles. No. The first is to draw that holy life of God. Draw people into the love of God. Draw people into the holiness of God. Draw people into the patience of God. The fruit, the Bible calls it the fruit of the Spirit. You carry yourself about with such consciousness. God is not interested in people seeing how powerful He is. He's interested in people knowing how loving He is. So the carriers of God must understand the heartbeat of God. God parted the Red Sea. People didn't serve Him. God commanded water to turn black. Egyptians didn't serve Him. No, they didn't. But He loved the world and came to die. There are churches in Egypt now. Why? Because His love is more powerful than His miraculous works. I pray for somebody here. May you represent God in His totality. Amen. You carry yourself about with sex. Listen, let me show you another thing about the containers. Every vessel must know that content gives value to container. So you know that it's not your school that will give value to you. It's the God content inside of you. Every empty container is very cheap. People don't pay for empty containers. They pay for the value they have placed on what is inside the container. Your value is not your height. Your value is the God inside. Believers, you must understand. You must understand. You are going for interview. Your faith and your trust is so much in how much you can speak. No, it's an error. It is the God inside. You must have it. You must know it. Somebody said, I'm valuable. Not because of your chain watch, but because of the God inside of you. There are some people who finish dressing and they feel today I'm dressing so well that and suddenly they begin to feel very big about themselves. No. People will discard you the day you lose God. The day you lose Him, you are nothing. The Bible says if you lose your saltiness, people will trample over you. That's what the Bible says. Go and ask Apostle Saul or King Saul or however we call him, Professor. When the Spirit of God left him, suddenly, he left his throne and started chasing a small boy to kill. When people lose their God content, it's a miserable thing. When people lose their God content, they lose their value so much that Christians turn to gossips. Some turn to drunkards. Some turn to backbiters. Some turn to liars. When you lose your God content inside of you. King Saul kept on ramping about here and there, till he killed himself. When Judas was losing his God content for the devil to enter, he didn't see. The moment he lost God, he killed himself. One of the most lightest people on earth are people who lose their God content. They are too light. They are too light. They feel they know everything, but they are so light. Wait in the spirit that a devil is just waiting to smite them one of these days. As simple as that. Every container must know that your value is your content. So if I'm a temple of God and if I'm a vessel of God, then one of my greatest assignments is to protect and give that God an atmosphere to remain and keep working. That's why you don't come to church just to excite yourself. You come to church to receive knowledge of how to keep your God content. So you know what to do. You know the value of praise and worship. You know the value of obedience. You know what to do. You know the power and the essence of purity. You know it when the... So Apostle Paul said, be ye separate. The day you find out that you are a temple, be ye separate. These are things we learn. So that we can keep that God content. I pray for somebody here from today. Receive the grace to keep your God content. Receive that grace. Receive it. We are not all the same. How much does Coca-Cola cost? One city. How much does Guinness cost? Please, you know. How much does it cost? 4, 8 cities. Wait, oh. You buy one for one CD, buy another for a CD. Are you buying the a CD because of the container? Because of what? What is in you determines what comes to you. Okay. So you cannot be drink. And the advert will be that if you are eating, add this to it. I see what? The addition is not that simple. We must find what is inside of you before we give you what you are looking for. This whole world responds to your content. You better protect the God inside. He's the reason why you'll be honored. He's the reason why you'll be accepted. He's the reason why when you fall, you rise back again. He's the reason why wherever you enter, you may see sources. Keep His content. The quality of content determines the quality of people that comes around you. You don't beg for association. No. People walk to the mall looking for a particular thing. Why? Because they have tried what is inside of it. There are people who travel for long going to look for a particular thing. It's not because of the container, but there is something inside that thing. There are things that are in shortage and nobody will hear in Ghana, though it's in shortage. But let another thing be in shortage. By the time you realize it is in the news that something is in shortage. Why? Because of that thing inside of it. The quality of people that will come around you will never go beyond the quality of content you can. No. No. The whole of Egypt, the one that could stand before Pharaoh was Joseph. Why? Because the Bible says the spirit of the gods were in him. The whole of Babylon, the one that could stand before Nebuchadnezzar was Daniel. Why? Because there was a content inside of him. I pray from today, very soon, may you dine with mighty people. May you dine with great people. I pray that when presidents gather, may you show up there. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Listen, I'm not just making noise. I'm prophesying to somebody here. The people you see on TV, very soon you'll be sitting with them. Just focus on what is inside of you. Just focus. Listen, good always attracts good. Evil attracts evil. What is inside of you will determine what will come to you. You are not just a carrier of God. I'm a temple of God and all that. No, no, no. You must know that the quality of things that will come around you will be equal to that which is inside. So I wake up in the morning expecting God-like things to show up. Because I carry God inside. I am not to solve smaller problems. Because I carry solution inside. These are things that you don't have to even write it and read it later. It must sink deep within. I know what was inside David made Samuel stand for this. An old man, together with the whole house of David, stood. We are not sleeping. We are standing till the young man comes. Because God has found David, my servant, and I have anointed him with my holy oil. God is with him in the wilderness. You may be in the palace without God. But if you are in the wilderness with God, somebody will be relocated from the palace and you'll be brought inside. Do you know what the presence of God stands for? You wouldn't be chasing things. Unfortunately, there's a generation that believes in makeup more than their God content. That's why you do things like that. You think you can be too smart. Your brain. Look at aeroplane and know that the brains outside the world are smarter than you. If you want to think you are sharp, look at the throttle you pick. A human being made it. You can't be smarter than the world. Your own God told you that the children of this world are wiser than the children of the kingdom. So you need God to be resident in you to survive them. You need God. We are not just playing around. No. No. When we came to this side of Ofanko, we were told plainly, that if you cross this road, no church survives at this side. You have to cross and go to the other side before a church can survive. We did the scan and realized that the only church surviving is a spiritual church here. You can't use smartness to do ministry at this side and survive. No. There were more smart pastors that came. We started church. Our first program was 3 months. We crossed 150 or something. Because in the secret of my home, I kept on telling God, Lord, without you, I go all out with you. Without you, I'm going nowhere. Without you. I kept on telling him till he knew I need him. There are some of you, a little calculation, you wake up in the night and you begin to put pen and paper here. Me, if I do this, if I do this, if I do this, you think you are smart. You can face life with this brain. No, you won't survive. You won't survive. Those that survive in this world are people with the content of God working about. They speak and it is God that just spoke. That's it. In the beginning, God started. He must end it. Nobody can really survive in this kingdom without a deep connection to God. It won't work. It won't work. And God can be inside you. But the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And I told you, I explained to you the Greek word there. To reduce to scribble. To reduce to scribble. That's the Greek word. To reduce to scribble. That means that the lowest of measure. So God is not in all of us by the same measure. No. He's in different dimensions. That's why Ezekiel saw the vision. He said, and the water was in my ankle and moved to my knee and moved to my waist and overflowed me. We are in different measures of the God content. There are things inside of me that God will reveal, that he will be in you, he will not reveal. God doesn't mind that together with you, you will still spend 10 years in hospital. God doesn't mind. He doesn't mind that together with you, you will still be imprisoned. He doesn't mind. That's why he said that one of the judgments of the last day, he said, when I was in prison, you did not visit me. When I was sick, you did not visit me. When I was naked, you did not give me clothes. So God can be in you and together you'll be poor. So the fact that God is around you does not mean that he will start performing. You need knowledge to engage him inside. You need him. That's why you need church. That's why you need teachers. He said that I will give you bread of adversity, but I will never take your teachers away from you. That means in the midst of poverty, it's only your teachers that will take you out of it. He said, in that day, the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be exalted above all mountains, and all nations shall troop into the house of the Lord. And he said, one to will say to another, let us go into the house of the Lord, for he shall teach us his ways. He will not just show us his acts, he will teach us his ways. Go making disciples of all men, teaching them. So just, you continue to take the work of God for granted. God will be inside, together failing with you. Sometimes I sit back and I ask myself, gee, I decided I will not behave like a Ghanaian. It's not easy for me, but I'm trying. It was recently I realized that I've been so obsessed about it, so God used somebody to teach me something. You see, Ghana, we operate from our motherland. We call it motherland. Yeah. So, Trimudankwa. Nigeria operates from the fatherland. They call it the fatherland. Aggressive, doing everything with seriousness, getting something out of anything they want to do. But to Ghana, when he gets what to eat and what to eat today and what to eat tomorrow, he will start talking as though he has arrived. Because we are, this is not, the Bible calls you weaker vessels. God created women to be pampered, to be taken care of, to be guided, to be helped, so it's normal if a woman wants everything soft and easy. But a man, you are bone. What characterizes you is muscles. The whole nation is too meaty. Prayerless. Not aggressive in faith. Not adapting the word of God and walking in it. So very few are really showing something. Very few. You can preach a whole year and only few will have a testimony out of a word you preached. Because the rest don't care. The moment they finish church, they've forgotten everything. They are going to get a new clothes and come the following Sunday. When the Bible says, do not be only hearers, be doers, be practitioners, aggressive. Lord, you said this. This must happen. I know you did it for someone. I know you can do it. This must happen. Aggressive, dangerous faith. This must happen for me. How many Ghanaians take their medical report and tear it into pieces? I don't accept this. How many can do that? But we'll be pampering. 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 Job said that what I fear has come upon me. And what I was greatly afraid of has visited me. Your fear will chase you everywhere. A nation full of fearful people, unaggressive, don't care. If they are failing, they don't care. If they are not doing well, they don't care. Let anything happen. From today, we arrest that spirit upon us. We bind that spirit. May women arise. May men arise. Am I here with the church at all? Yeah. Listen, certain truths are bitter, but I'll tell you. I will finish doing 2 services, then go back, finish counseling quickly, go on the floor and go and pray before third service. Somebody will just be in the church, walking about, going and coming, talking on the street with yogurt in the mouth. Talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. By 4:35, they go and wear their clothes and come. When you have altar smiling at you, the whole week you have not been here, you have just a day and you have an opportunity, an interval between one service to another. You are around talking, talking. When Monday is coming and you don't know the spirits and forces you are going to meet, you are talking. You don't reduce the presence of God to scruple. He said that, watch what you say, because you can grieve the Holy Spirit. He said, maligning, anger, grieves the Holy Spirit. You have to know this. There is a whole sermon on how the Holy Spirit can dwell in you but do nothing. Any believer that hears that sermon and walks away without getting scared, you are bold. The boldest people are the ones walking to hell. Sometimes I want to salute them. That you know you are going to hell and you are going. Wow. If you go meet, greet the devil for me. You know very well that it has been explained to you clearly. Ephesians 4. 28 to 29 to 30. What actually can let God not work inside of you? And you still have the audacity to be fighting, be bitter. You are not serious. What I want to see, I have not seen an iota. No, I can't joke now. I'm not part of jokers. The day the Lord opened my eyes to giving, that was when money knew I don't respect him. In my house, even if somebody is dying, any money that comes, not until tithe is taken, we will all die. Because I saw it myself when God showed me. That is not a command. No, it's not a command. It's not. It's not just a command. That's a little of it. When Melchizedek gave bread and wine to Abraham, Abraham responded with a tithe and said, I receive these blessings by this bread and wine. That was when I realized that so any blessing I see on earth, the blood and the body is responsible. I'm a thief. And I'm an ungrateful person. That means the sacrifice of Jesus is what will guarantee every victory that I get. And will guarantee every blessing that comes to me. The sacrifice of Jesus. The Bible says Jesus came in the order of Melchizedek. And we are the seed of Abraham. So what Melchizedek did, Jesus did it for us. What Abraham did, we must be doing. So it's not just a Malachi 3 something. It's deeper than that. If you dash me 100 CD now, I know the blood was responsible. I must give the tithe on it. This is my salary. I worked for it. If the blood has not kept your life and your health, could you have worked for it? You must come to a point knowing that it's the blood and the sacrifice. These are things you tap into your spirit and you begin to walk. Listen, I found one in Matthew 13 that says that unto them it was not given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto us it is given because our eyes see and our ears hear. I said, so give me some of the mysteries. Then he began by explaining the parable of the sower. A man went to sow. Some fell on the roadside. Some fell on a rocky ground. Some fell on a thorny ground. And some fell on a good ground. The one that fell on the stony ground is the one that received the word with joy. But he did not have a deeper root. Therefore, the sun shined. And then it died off. That's persecution. Then one also got it on a thorny ground. He said that the thorn began to pierce the seed. And he said that these are the people that the cares of this world and the wanting of money made them lose and became unfruitful. Then he said the good one are those that receive the word and understands it. He said they will go out and bring other 30, other 60, other 100. They will go out and bring other 30, other 60, other 100. The TLB will give you a better verse. He said, they will go out and bring. I saw this twice. I realized that soul winning is a sign that you have understood the gospel. Anybody that has really understood the gospel must at least win 30 fresh souls to this kingdom. Can you see that? Can you read it once you go? A heart of a man who listens to the message and understands it and goes out and brings 30, 60, or even 100 others into the kingdom. How many souls have you won so far? With your life. Because life, a day is coming, you will stand before the Lord and you will seek. When we tell you we are going for soul winning, you think it's an option. If I want, I'll go. If I don't want, I won't go. That church, I don't like them. I don't want to get myself involved with these people. These people, you are going to work with them. You think they are your class. And you are their class. So I won't. It's not about who is classic and who is not. It's about a certain revelation here. I must bring 30. I must bring 60. I must bring 100. No, any normal believer that says that I've received the gospel, I'm saved. This to be your testing ground. How can you hear this and not do anything about it? What hearts do you have? What heart? Then every day, pampering. 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 Hey, please come to church. I woke up, I didn't feel like going to church. Please pray. This time I don't feel like praying. Sir, it's not about feeling. It's not about feeling. Where the world is getting to now, it's not about feeling. When they can create a whole disease to wipe away the earth, Christians is still talking about feelings. You are joking. And the only message you preach to a Christian that he feels like taking it is when you tell him tomorrow by this time. I'm not saying it's wrong. Tomorrow by this time, you'll still be blessed. But what must I do to see that? It's not just I receive it. They have been saying tomorrow by this time for too long. Have you received it? So you ask yourself, what must I be doing? It's time you begin to diagnose sermons and find out duty lines from sermons. This sermon I received, did it carry anything that I must be doing? Then you write it down and you begin to practice them until you see it. Jesus said that, go out and bear fruit. If your fruit remain, whatever you ask, the Father will give to you. Don't stop talking about why, God, Pastor, why am I praying and God is not hearing me? Why am I praying? What is John chapter 15 saying? It's time we stop this shallow Christianity and get back to business. Do you know what God is saying? Have you accepted it? Have you received it? Are you running with it? One of the things that shocks me are pastors that keep calling me, what is your secret? What are the secrets? Apart from what you must be practicing in Bible. What are the secrets? It's so clear. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Is that not so clear? Oh. So what are you looking for? The subject of faith is clearly taught. It's clear. Build up your most holy faith. Speaking in tongues. It's clear. Be anxious of nothing. In all things. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Then you pocket when we are praising. And after that, come back and say, Pastor, this is my problem. How long, people of God? How long? When you woke up this morning, did you spend 5 minutes worshiping? These are the times that happens to expose us. If instruments are not there, and you can't really worship from your heart, that means you don't have a personal worship life. You don't have a personal praise life. You don't. Because in the house, there is no instrument. So if genuinely you worship God personally in the house, when you come to church and there are no instruments, you don't mind. Because this is what you've been doing all the time. May the Lord deliver us. Amen. Don't lose your God content. Coca-Cola is in the mall. You go and buy. Then you bring it into your fridge. It stays in the fridge. Till you finish drinking it. Where does it go to? Where does it go to? Into the bin. The day you lose God, you are trashed. You have a place at the mall because of the content. You have a place in the fridge because of the content. But if that content finishes, we are trashed. So the agenda is that, how can I keep my content flourishing? That's the agenda. Is it praise? Come on. Is it faith? Come on. Is it obedience? Come on. What must I be doing for the God inside to keep flourishing inside of me? Is it word? Is it meditation? Let's flow, sir. Let's flow. Let's flow. Nobody buys expired content. That's why when devils fill your heart, you have no place. You need God. When your old nature is still in you, that is an expired content. When demons still have a place in your mind, in your heart, that is an expired content. You need to come to a place where you know how to relate with the God content that is inside of you. Write this down. How do I entertain God? How do I entertain God inside of me? How do I entertain God? Consciousness. Consciousness. God never flows where he's not acknowledged. You have to acknowledge God's presence. You have to acknowledge. The Bible says that acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and he shall direct your path. Acknowledge the Lord. Acknowledge the Lord. Every single day, acknowledge the Lord. Yesterday I was talking to a group of pastors and I made a mistake and I said evangelist somewhere came to visit me yesterday and we're talking and I made a mistake and said I. Suddenly I lifted up my hands. I said, Lord, forgive me. And I told them, I have no business in this. It's not I, it's not me. Acknowledge the Lord every day. God did it. God has been merciful to me. It's God at work. Acknowledge him. The Bible says the more you acknowledge him, the more he directs your path. Acknowledge. That means the day you start to acknowledge yourself, your path ceases. No leadership, no guidance. He leads me beside the still waters. The day God will stop his shepherding over your life is the day you start acknowledging yourself. And not him. Nebuchadnezzar was to be a king that rules the whole world. In Jeremiah, the Lord called him my servant. And had a dream that he would be turned into an animal. And that dream could never manifest. Until the man stood at his corridor one day and said, is this not Babylon that I have built? And then a voice was tendered in heaven. Stop talking about yourself. If it's not me. If it is not me. If it's not I, if it's not this, no, you will kill yourself on time. You will lose your God. You will lose him. That's why I'm conscious to always stand on this pulpit and say that this church belongs to God. I am a steward. I'm a caretaker. If I don't take care, he can sack me. When God decides that, Elvis, I don't like your leadership again, get down. And I refuse to get down. Is it not the dying? Takes your life and another person takes over. Is this a big deal for you? It's not. That is why every single day you must acknowledge the Lord, your personality, the things you have, your family. Acknowledge. We are too selfish. Self. Have you not heard what he told us? That if a man will follow me, let him deny himself. That is the first assignment. Deny yourself. Deny. Then you become God conscious. You pick a car and there was a little accident. It didn't happen. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. You are about to end the year. You never stepped into hospital for once. Thank you, Jesus. One of the most important days in every church's agenda in the year is the Thanksgiving Day. Everybody must come with excitement and joy to give God all the praise for taking care of you from January to today. If you had known the secret battles God fought for you, it would amaze you. That because you didn't get your desired job, maybe in the plans of the supernatural, that job should have killed you this year. So it was a blessing rather not to have it. But you see, we are just walking about without understanding. Somebody say, Lord, I acknowledge you. I acknowledge you. This is how God flourishes around people. Your results come. Thank you. Whether it was good or bad, thank you. The Bible says that in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ. So he has defined. So somebody is asking, Pastor, what is God's will for me? Pastor, what is God's will for me? If you tell the person that God's will for you is to give thanks, you say, no, I want the other one. Which other one? The other one is, yes, this God's will is in 1 Thessalonians 5. The other one you are looking for, it's in Ephesians 1. He said that in the dispensation of time, God will make his will known to us, that all things will come as one into Christ. That's the will of God for you. That we are all working together, that one day will appear in Christ. Oh, Pastor, another one. The other one is in 1 Thessalonians 4. He said, this is the will of God for you, that you sanctify yourself and be holy from these things. So the will of God is made plain. It's made plain. So if you really want to know, it's in the Bible. Go and search for it. One will of God is to separate from sin. Another will is to stand as one together with the church to represent ourselves as one to him. Another will is to give him thanks for every situation. Acknowledgement. Acknowledgement. Can I pray for somebody here? From today, may your eyes be open to who God is. I said, may your eyes be open to who God is. That you will acknowledge him day and night and never get tired. Never. Never. Today I was, please be seated. Today I was asking for forgiveness before I took the microphone. The one coming to do testimonies said, let us celebrate Jesus. Everybody sat down and clapped. He said, let us celebrate our Father. Everybody stood up and clapped. I joined all of you. I said, Lord, take the clap. I said, Lord, take the clap. Clap for Pastor, you stand. Clap for Jesus, you sit. Just today. So whilst I stood, I was saying, Lord, forgive me. Forgive your church. Receive this clap. Add it to your own. I'm not saying dishonor me, but it's God first. So the day you hear somebody say, let's celebrate Jesus, you jump up. It's about Jesus. Jesus. And Jesus. And Jesus. I love that. Give him a shout. You know? Listen, one of the greatest ways to help a human being is to honor Jesus for that human being. And one of the ways to kill a human being is to honor the human being ahead of Jesus. You kill him quick. You kill him quick. Do you know what made God not allow Moses to step into the Canaan land? He said, you did not honor me before the people. He said, you did not honor me before the people. It is in records in scriptures over and over and over. But I understand the church because today we don't read Bible. Most of us don't read Bible. So sometimes God understands our errors. Matthew 23, he says that ye do err because you know not the scriptures. He said you do err, you make mistakes because you know not the scriptures. So sometimes when we make all these mistakes, God understands because we don't read the scriptures. But if we do, realize that we could have caused the presence of God to flourish around us. There are things we take lightly, but it's weighty in the spirit. Can you imagine all that the devil asked from Jesus? Bow to me. So if Jesus had just bent and stood, something drastic had happened in the spirit that would have traveled for years. Just bent for me. So you see, when you come to church, one kneeling, you have no idea what it affects in the spirit. One kneeling. I'm telling you. Yesterday around 12 a.m., I was here. I will turn to this side and turn to this side. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I kept on doing it. I drove back home. Today I was rushing to church because every single time before church will begin, I must come and kneel or lie down, being the first to appreciate him before anybody comes to do it. By your carnality, you think I'm joking. By spirituality, anytime I do that, I trigger something in the spirit. You may never know. I trigger. What scared me? It was one revelation. Bow down. Bow. Ah. You didn't? Satan didn't ask much. Bow. And then Jesus got angry. Worship only God. Away with you, Satan. If somebody is telling you to bow, is this a big deal? But the one who is eternal, ancient of days, know what happens when a human bows. He knows. He knows. So you lift up your voice. Oh, bow down and worship him. No, Obinsa Shenoboto. Bow down and worship. No, the drum, in a kick in a cosa. Worship him. Oh, worship him. Even the leader crowd doesn't understand. Yo, na, 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 na. Bow down, na, na. And when somebody lift up your hands. Some bow, you say lift up your hands. The Bible said that the lifting up of your hands is like the evening sacrifice. Go back into Elijah's time. Go back into Moses' time and go and find out what the evening sacrifice is. Then you will know if the Bible tells you that lifting up your hands is like evening sacrifice. All the prophets of Baal finished their own. Elijah said, wait until the time of the evening sacrifice. I know what is there. So Elijah didn't rush. He said, wait till the time of the evening sacrifice. They were mysterious men who understood things. Last time I was telling you, certain depth of even timings in the day. Why Jesus was captured at 9. Why he remained on the cross by 12. Why he prayed at 12 p.m. And why he gave the ghost at 3 p.m. These are mysterious stuff. But how would the church understand? By acknowledging God. And then by our relationship with him, he begins to open our eyes to what must be seen. Isaiah chapter 1 to 5. He kept condemning the people. Come to the Lord and reason with him. Until Isaiah chapter 6, he saw God. He began to curse himself. Woe unto me, for my eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. I am a dead man. The day you see the God inside of you, you will curse yourself for fornicating with him. The day you have a glimpse of the God inside you. When Isaiah went to heaven, even the seraphims before the Lord have covered their faces because they are unworthy to behold him. That is why the Bible said, and the angels said to themselves, who is man that thou visited? And who is the son of man that thou art mindful of? Do you know yourself, God? Do you know? We can't even watch you in the face. And yet you went among men and they maltreated you, mistreated you, abused you, and killed you. Do you know yourself or you have forgotten who you are? You made us out of fire. You made them out of clay, but you made yourself. Nobody knows your beginning and your end. You are the ancient of the days. And you go for them to mistreat you. Who is that man? Who? And the angels are watching. Is this this God that we can't even behold? So when Jesus was through with the world, he stood at Jerusalem and said that if thou knewest your visitation, he said if you knew the kind of visitation you have, you don't know that by this 33 years of visitation, the whole of heaven is confused. They are asking, why did I do this? So 1 Peter chapter 1 says, even angels are looking into this subject of salvation. They don't understand. Ephesians 3 verse 10 says that the principalities and the demonic realm are learning the manifold wisdom of God through the church. That thing Jesus came to do, they are learning. They don't understand. And yet the church don't know. You don't know the mystery behind God coming to dwell inside of you. You don't know. You don't know. And we are a mystery to angels. It was when the church was created that angels' assignments were redefined. The Bible says, are they not ministering angels? Appointed to be ministers for the heirs of salvation. From that day, they began to minister for the heirs of salvation. Before that, angels could strike a man to be blind. But after that, men that are saved became the masters of angels. And angels don't understand. We have been before these ones came. Why have you suddenly lifted them, highly sitting and with you, and we are bowing together, bowing before you together with them? They are asking. But we still don't understand. We still don't. Church, how long would you know that God has done something for you? How you are treating him, he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't. He doesn't deserve your disobedience. He doesn't deserve your unholiness. He doesn't deserve your pride. He doesn't deserve that ego of yours. He doesn't. God has done so much for you. He doesn't. He doesn't deserve our ingratitude. He doesn't. He doesn't. Angels are looking into this matter of salvation. And they are wondering, why did you do this? And the unfortunate thing is that they can't even look at his face. So they have covered their faces. Some have hidden themselves. And they are shouting from afar, God, why did you do this? They can't even question him in his face. Because they have covered their faces. They can't look at him. He's so dangerous. But this same God came. We looked eyeball to eyeball. And one man sold him. A human being sold him out. And now he went through all that. And said that, heaven, I have ready men, ready beings to serve me, but I choose to come and dwell among you. And now, we are overgiving him and reducing him to stucco. There is a generation that must rise to know their God. To know. I don't do these things to gain anything. It's a reality. It's a reality. God is inside. God is here. Is inside of us. So let us be separate from among them. And having this promise, let us sanctify ourselves. We walk in faith because God demands faith. We are intentionally living a life of joy because God inside demands joy. We can't abuse his presence. We can't. But that's what is happening. Many of us are seriously abusing God's presence. We will live here right now. Somebody will go and fight with another person in church. Unforgiveness. Distracting his presence with unforgiveness. Not discerning him. Not acknowledging him. You don't wake up even a day to meditate on who God is. But he said, all you are thinking about is things outside and not that which is inside. The hour has come that true worshippers will worship God in spirit and in truth. For God is spirit. Your true life is not what is outside. It's what is inside. For he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Church, I present you with your first encounter as your rebirth experience is the God encounter that he dwells in you and he lives in you by the person of the Holy Spirit. There are several benefits of God dwelling in you, but the most important thing, he is too faithful to keep his promises. But I must teach you what you must do to cause his presence to flourish around your life. Don't give yourself into sin. Don't give yourself into self. Acknowledge him. Stay pure. Be obedient. Be joyful. Be full of faith. Walk according to his word. And cause him to flourish. And anytime God smiles within you, things begin to happen outside of you. Stop looking at the outside. Attend to who is inside. If you finish attending to who is inside, everything outside will begin to align. God bless you and favor you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Ajuman Elvis. For inquiries, send us a mail on PastorElvis@gracemountainministry.org. For questions relating to relationships and marriage, send us a mail on loveclinic@elvisajuman.org. You can also send your testimonies via testimonies@elvisajuman.org. For offerings, visit www.payalpha.org. For more information, make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. Remember, faith cometh from hearing, and hearing the word of God. Stay blessed.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.